What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Today is another listener stories episode, if you couldn't tell from the title of this episode.
And if you didn't read it, then that's weird, because I always read what the episode's going to be about, even my own episodes.
Same, but to each their own, you never know.
Yeah.
This one, so I know a lot of people do like listener stories, and we do typically want to do them once a month, but typically we'll do them closer to the end of the month, but your girl, Haley, if you guys didn't know, has been extremely overwhelmed and stressed, and I have not had time to finish my research for my next episode. So because of that, we are pushing up this listener stories episode, but I promise you my next episode is going to be really good. I've been working on it literally since before my wedding.
Oh.
And it's gonna be a good one, so I promise.
It's worth the wait.
Yeah, it's worth the wait. But we're just pushing this listener stories up a little bit. And I think we have some really good ones. So I'm excited to share these with you today.
Yeah, I think we do too. We have a good mix of like spooky and like, you know, trafficky and like all the things.
Right. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just get into it. All right. The first story is from Allie. And it says, "Hi guys, really enjoying your podcast. I have a really insane true crime story I want to share, but it didn't happen to me. I hope that's okay." Of course.
Yeah.
"I had a Spanish teacher in high school who was, and still is, don't worry, she's not dead, an experienced world traveler. She studied abroad in Germany and Spain a few times, studied abroad in Chile, and has probably been to every country in Southern Europe." That is so cool. That's like goals.
Yeah, for real. I want to go to all of the places in Europe.
Oh, yeah. "Her husband is fairly high ranking in the military, so these days she gets to visit Beirut in Lebanon with some regularity. She told us lots and lots of stories about her travels, most of them upbeat and funny. Her quote-unquote taken story was altogether different."
Uh-oh.
"I'm a little hesitant to share it because A, I'm not sure if I have all the details right. B, it's kind of long. And C, I don't know if she wants it out in the world. But I figure if she shared it with a bunch of high school juniors, maybe she's not too concerned. I'll keep her anonymous, though."
Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
Good plan.
We'll keep it all anonymous.
Yeah.
But I am all for long stories, so never apologize for a story being too long.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the story. "She grew up in Chicago and was raised by parents who taught her to love travel. They helped finance a lot of her trips. While she was never particularly fond of France, her dad loved Paris a lot, and she was curious as to what made that city so special to him. She and a friend got permission to go. If I remember right, they were still teenagers. And they booked something like an Airbnb in the heart of the city and set off for a short trip. What happened next is straight out of any dad or teenage girl's worst nightmare.
No.
They got to the Airbnb well after dark, and they didn't realize that their hosts had gone to bed for the night. No sensible European host is going to wait up for their late guests. This meant they were locked out until whenever they woke up in the morning."
Dang.
I will say inserting something real quick as like somebody who has traveled to Europe a lot. If you're ever going to arrive late anywhere to like an Airbnb like that, I would be sure to let them know ahead of time so that they like can make arrangements. Just like we've done that a couple times when we traveled. We weren't going to get there until like late, you know, like 10, 11 p.m. So we just like let the host know, and they were like willing to stay up. So
Nice.
I'm sure that she was obviously like young when she was traveling, and it sounds like it was kind of before Airbnb was as big. So probably not as many people were used to that, but just a little tip for you guys.
Yeah.
"After knocking and realizing they would need to find a hotel, they turn around to the street and notice a car with its lights on parked on the street behind them. Two men get out, ask them what's wrong, and tell them they know of an affordable hotel nearby and offer to take them there."
Nope.
Obviously, that's sketchy, but neither of them felt like they had any choice. They get in, and to their relief, the two guys actually take them to a decent hotel and help them check in. After checking in, though, the men stay and ask the girls if they want to go out clubbing or bar hopping or whatever else with them that night. Again, they were kind of sketched out that these guys were still following them slash hanging around, but they figured if they were honest enough to take them to the hotel, maybe they really were just friendly people. They did indeed go out on the town with these two men and had a relatively fun, but probably slightly awkward time.
Yeah.
They all shared a late dinner and did a little bit of dancing, but didn't stay out terribly late. Then they told the men they wanted to go to bed, and the four of them got back in the men's car. The girls didn't know Paris well enough to realize they were leaving the area of their hotel until it was too late.
Oh no.
The buildings were starting to look different, and then they realized they were getting on a major highway. They kept asking the men to turn around and take them to the hotel, but the men would either ignore them or talk to each other in another language, neither French nor anything else the girls understood.
Uh-oh.
Before long, they realized they were following signs to the airport and approaching fast.
No.
They were fairly confident that they were about to get trafficked.
No.
Terrified and desperate, my teacher started to think of ways to get out of the situation. The two men were Middle Eastern looking in dress and appearance, so she took a shot in the dark, guessing they might be religious. She asked the men if they were religious, and one of them actually answered her and said they were. Hoping to guilt them out of kidnapping, she asked them about if they were supposed to have sex with girls before they were married.
What?
The men answered no, but kept driving. She decided to exaggerate a little. Well, I agree. In fact, in my religion, I am not even allowed to kiss anyone until after I'm married. I respect your religion, and I'd very much like for you to respect mine.
Oh.
With that, the two men started talking and exited the highway. To my teacher's relief, they got back on in the opposite direction and took them back to their hotel.
What?
The craziest part is that the men took them back on condition that they meet back up with them at the hotel the next morning.
No.
They literally expected them packed and ready to go. Maybe they wanted to get a marriage license or something. Anyway, the girls obviously were noping out of that hotel.
Yeah.
Pretty fast and stayed in a different one until the next morning. Smart.
That's terrifying.
They then checked into their Airbnb and had a relatively fun and uneventful vacation after that. This story really made me appreciate my teacher's instincts, and honestly, I hope the men never got away with kidnapping anyone else. Sorry again about the long chopped up story. No, it was great. But honestly, crimes against tourists have always been super interesting to me, and I think other listeners would definitely be interested in this story. Allie. Holy shit, Allie.
That's like really scary. And also, that girl has some balls to be talking to them about some, like, religion. Because that's a touchy subject for anybody.
Yeah.
But I would be terrified.
So smart.
Yeah. Obviously, it worked.
To, like, use something against them that she, like, to guilt them. Like you said, that was really smart. So yeah, take this as a reminder to never get into somebody's car. And if you are like Ubering or something like that, make sure it's the right person. You can turn on tracking and all of that. And if it's a taxi in Europe, make sure it is like a certified official taxi, not just a random car.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Allie. That was a crazy one. And I'm so glad your teacher was so smart and they were okay.
I know. Okay. So the next one says, last July, my youth group went to Alaska. I'm from Michigan. One of our leaders was an older gentleman who was like a grandfather to me. His wife and multiple other family members were on the trip. On the Wednesday of our trip, we were working on the side of a steep mountain and he slipped a little. His daughter-in-law told him to be careful and he looked up at us incredibly calm and with certainty. He said, this is a beautiful place to die. Nothing else. Oh. 3 days later, he passed away swimming the lake at the bottom of the mountain. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I'll miss him forever. It was like he knew what was going to happen. He was at peace. And we all know he is in heaven. Oh my gosh.
Aww.
That's so heartbreaking.
But like, it's so sweet that he like knew and he went somewhere where he was at peace.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's like maybe he chose to go there for that reason.
Yeah.
Aww. That's so sweet. All right. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. That was really sweet, but like also sad. And I'm sorry for your loss because, you know, having someone that you're that close with is hard to lose always.
Yeah. Aww. Okay. The next story is from Jennifer K. On June 16th, 2022, one of my employees did not show up to work to open the urgent care at 6 a.m. Hmm. I immediately started calling her at 6:05 when I was notified she wasn't there. Good for you, because I feel like some people wouldn't worry about it right away, but like, you clearly are a true crime listener and know what to do.
Exactly.
This particular employee had worked with us for over 10 years and had never once been a no-call, no-show. Hmm. This immediately sent worry and panic through me. For the next 2 hours, I tried to call her. I got to the office, found her address, and I went to her house to check on her. Her car and her husband's car were both in the driveway. Mm-hmm. I knocked on the back door, rang the doorbell, called her, and yelled her name to no answer. I moved around to the front door and did the same thing, yet no answer. I got back in my car and started calling other managers to get her emergency contact information. Another manager called her husband, who did not answer, and I called her daughter, who had not spoken with her since around 8:45 p.m. the night before.
Oh, no.
Her daughter was not able to get in touch with her, with either of them, and was on her way. She told me to try to open the back door, to which I got out of the car and went to check the door. To my surprise, the door opened while I was on the phone with her daughter, and I saw my employee sitting on the couch, not moving.
No.
I yelled her name and went into the house, where I saw that her and her husband had been shot multiple times.
Oh my God, I am so sorry you had to see that. Oh my God.
I immediately told their daughter that I needed to go to call the police. I turned around and walked back outside, called the police, and sat in my car until the police arrived on scene. After the first officer arrived, their daughter pulled up, to which I told her not to go inside, that she didn't need to see what was in there. Mm. The police confirmed that the couple were both, in fact, deceased. I was then separated from the family at the scene and then escorted to a police car, thankfully not the backseat and not in handcuffs, and taken to the law enforcement center, where I sat in an interrogation room for over 4 hours, where they asked me questions, took my DNA, my picture from all different angles, tested my hands for gunshot residue, took my fingerprints, and they also searched my car for any evidence that I had anything to do with the double homicide.
Oh my God.
Within a few hours, the police had a suspect they were searching for. After a few days, they found him in a hotel room. When they yelled out police, they heard a gunshot and entered the room where the suspect had shot himself. Throughout this whole ordeal, I haven't been able to listen to any podcast due to currently living in a true crime podcast. Over the last week, I have gradually started getting back into true crime podcasts, and I decided I want to listen to y'all since your voices are so familiar from binge listening to all the episodes. Aww. I just want to thank y'all for spreading the stories of those who can no longer tell their story. Out of this whole traumatic event, I am thankful that I was able to save their daughter from the lasting image of her parents. I want her to remember them in a happier time. Now just trying to pick up the pieces of my life and my mental health. Pray for their family, work family, friends, and for myself to heal from this horrible event. Thank you for all you do, Jennifer K.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, Jennifer. First of all, can I just say you are an amazing person for taking it so seriously, doing everything you could to find her and figure out what was going on, and then for protecting their daughter. Like, wow, you are amazing.
Yeah.
I am so, so sorry for what you experienced and for them, their daughter, all of their family and everyone else. That is so heartbreaking. And I mean, all murders are senseless, but that just breaks my heart that they were just in their home. And wow, that is awful.
I know. I can't imagine experiencing something like that.
Yeah, not at all. I hope you are taking care of yourself and your mental health and, you know, going to therapy or whatever you need to heal from that, because I cannot even begin to fathom that. And thank you for listening to us and telling us this story, because it's a reminder to everyone to never think, oh, someone just didn't show up. You know, do what you need to do, because who knows, maybe if, like you said, maybe if you hadn't gone there, their daughter would have found them, or they wouldn't have gotten more information about the suspect, or who knows what. Right. So you really helped their family. So, wow.
And hopefully the person was caught.
Well, she said he had shot himself.
Oh, that's right. My bad. I zoned out from that. I was in shock, I guess.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
That's awful.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Jennifer. And I am so sorry. And I hope you are doing okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one is going to be from Heather. And it says, "Hey guys, I love the podcast. I actually suggested the Whaley House episode." Well, thank you for that.
All right.
"It's been amazing seeing you guys grow. So I have a story. It's basically my entire childhood. Before we get into it, I want to preface this with another story. My mother used to practice a lot of witchcraft growing up. Come to find out, a lot of the females on my mother's side practiced but never talked about it. On my father's side, we had the Italian gypsies and witches, but my grandparents grew up very Catholic and so did my father. Basically, my mom practiced and did a full moon ritual with a mirror to see her future and saw my dad before they had even met." That is so interesting. Whoa. That is so interesting.
That's wild.
"That same night, my mom did her ritual. My dad felt ill, sweating, having a nightmare dream about a hand coming through a mirror. My mother had a Ouija board she made herself and brought some bad spirits into my grandparents' house on accident."
Oh, my.
"No, thank you. My grandfather proceeded to saw the board in half, and somehow the board jerked, and he almost lost his thumb."
Ooh. Oh, hell no.
Mm-mm. You can't, yeah, you can't, what is it called? You can't get rid of those. You can't, like, harm them. Nope. Or whatever, supposedly. That's what they say. "After, he went to burn it and saw little spirits dancing in the flames. My mother tried to right her wrongs and buried the ashes with salt and crystals in an area where it wouldn't be harmed. Growing up, my parents and three older sisters moved into this duplex that was built in the 70s. It wasn't too bad. It had these speakers going from the master bedroom to the living room, a small, decent backyard. Two of my sisters and I shared the master bedroom at the end of a long hallway, the kind you would see in horror movies. And for years, something would torment us. We'd hear footsteps down the halls, doors opening and closing on their own. The speaker box would turn on in the middle of the night, and you would just start hearing whispers coming through."
Oh,
okay, that's terrifying. Whispering, ugh. It's a whole other level of, like, fear.
That gave me full body chills.
Yeah. "This speaker box was wired through the house, so there was no way that transmission was getting intercepted. My sister was a huge fan of no porcelain dolls. Nope. No, thank you.
Uh-uh. I will never, ever. Nope.
I had some growing up, and I literally would, like, turn their heads around, like, turn their whole bodies around at night so I couldn't see their faces."
No.
But my mama gave them to me, so.
Okay, yeah. Like, for me, if they were sentimental like that, I think I would put them in a box in the garage, let them live their wonderful little life there, and not in my house.
Yeah. So her sister had the porcelain dolls, and one time she started having a fit and ran into the room crying. Then all of a sudden runs out, beyond terrified, crying some more. All the dolls had turned toward her in her fit of rage. Needless to say, she got rid of most of them.
Oh, hell yeah, no.
They'd be gone.
Nuh-uh.
If that was the case.
One of our friends who has a YouTube channel, in one of her YouTube videos, they went to, like, a thrift store or Goodwill or something, and one of her daughters got one of those dolls, like a doll. I don't think it was porcelain, but it definitely looked creepy.
Yeah.
And she said that she carried it around that day. And then by nighttime, I don't know if she went to bed or if she couldn't fall asleep and was sobbing. So they threw it in the trash can. Like, that day. It hadn't even been like 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. That's so. Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
I'm not getting nothing like that from the thrift store.
No.
That's got somebody's soul in it and everything.
Yep.
"After blessing the house many, many times, activities have calmed down. Now that we are all adults now, one of my sisters has taken over the house, and it has been very good and a positive experience. However, I get the feeling a spirit has been following me for many years. Hope you guys enjoyed my history a little bit. I have plenty more stories about this house I grew up in that I could share. I know it was a long one, but I appreciate you guys. Keep it human, Heather."
Okay, I need some more information on this spirit that has been following you around.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Like, excuse me?
I want to know, like, yeah, do you know, like, its name? Do you talk to it? Do you see it everywhere you go? Or is it, like, just in your house? I'm always curious about that.
Because
I've heard other stories of, you know, spirits attaching to people.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely write in again, because I'd love more stories. And I am thoroughly freaked out.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is from Audrey. Hey guys, I absolutely love listening to your podcast. I found you guys on TikTok back in March, I believe, and have been listening ever since. I love how you guys go so in depth to cases and how you guys also joke around bringing light to such dark subjects. Well, thank you. Anyways, my story today is kind of creepy. It's not true crime, so I guess you could consider it kind of paranormal. Back in the summer of 2014, or maybe 2015, I had just turned 9 or 10. For my birthday, someone had bought me a fur real monkey. I'll put a picture of it at the bottom of this so you can see just how creepy this motherfucker is.
And I added it to the document. I don't know if you saw it.
All right, wait, let me... Oh, geez, that's freaky. Okay. At first, I was obsessed with it like any other kid would be. Sure. I mean, fur real friends were really popular at the time. But one night, I was trying to go to sleep. To paint you a little picture, my little twin bed was up against the wall opposite of my mirror doors to my closet. And naturally, there were toys scattered across the floor. And right smack in the middle was that creepy fur robot. And it was laying on its side facing my mirror. Even though I thought it was cute, I still knew it was creepy. So every night, I would turn it off and remove its batteries and face it away from me because that hoe was scary.
Smart, because same.
Anyways, I was turned towards the wall with my eyes shut trying to get some sleep when I heard some robotic noises, like a robot arm moving, if you know what that sounds like. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I decided I was going to ignore it at first, mainly because I was too scared to turn around. But the noises were off and on for like 3 minutes, so finally I turn around and this creepy monkey bitch was facing me, and I shot up and grabbed it, checking to see it was on. But I realized it was turned off and the batteries were still out just as I left them. No. I dropped the monkey and ran to my sister's room crying and freaking out, so I couldn't really explain what was going on. And since she was half asleep, she just let me sleep on her floor. I'm pretty sure this happened on a Friday night because the next day we had company. It was common for us to have company on Saturdays. My family came over, so that meant my cousins were coming and my dad's girlfriend's kids came too. We're all around the same age, so we all get along pretty well. I decided to tell my closest cousin, we'll call him Jay, about my monkey experience. But I told him not to tell the girls, my dad's girlfriend's kids, because they already didn't like staying at our house because it wasn't their home, which is understandable. Anyways, after talking about it with Jay, he convinced me to tell the girls. So we told them together. I swear sharing this information gave us all soldier-like confidence, and we decided we were going to destroy the motherfucker. We went to the kitchen and found my dad's toolbox and armed ourselves with a single screwdriver. Don't ask me why, but that's the one we chose. We marched back to my room and acted like some surgeon and got ready to demolish that bitch. I was the one right in front of it because it was mine and everyone else was standing around me. We looked like we were interrogating a criminal. I think we even had a flashlight pointed at its face. At first, we tried stabbing its face, but it didn't work and it had that rubbery skin on its face. Ew. So we decided we were going to rip it all off. One would pull up the skin and the other would stab through it and rip it off.
Don't call it that.
We continued to do this till we got the skin off, and the whole time we're doing this, we're screaming profanities like, "Take that, you bitch," or "You creepy-ass motherfucker, die." Which is funny to think about because we were literally kids, like imagining one of the adults walk in and see this, LMAO. We tried to fuck up its hands and feet, too, because they were funny-looking, but I can't remember if we succeeded with that or not. Anyways, when we were done, we ended up throwing it away in the trash and felt like some bad asses. About a week or two went by and we had another get-together. Like I said, it was common for us to have people over on Saturdays. Jay came up to me and pulled out a piece of the monkey skin to scare me, I guess. And let me tell you, it freaked me out. I guess he wanted to keep a piece to scare us with it, the little shit. I forget how much time had gone past, but I remember one day, M, one of my dad's girlfriend's kids, came up to me and was like, "Didn't we throw the monkey away?" And I was like, "Yeah, you were there." And she said, I know. Did anyone get it out? And I was like, not that I know. And she said, because it's in the garage.
No.
I didn't believe her until I ran into the garage, and that's when I see the fucked up monkey furball bitch in a closed cabinet we have in the garage. I'm pretty sure we grabbed it and went Hulk style on it. You know the scene where Hulk treated Loki like a rag doll?
I do.
Well, that's what we did to the monkey while naturally screaming profanities at it, and then we threw it away and never saw it again. I can totally picture that, like you doing that to the monkey.
Oh my gosh.
Hope you guys got a good laugh out of this. It was fun to write. Love you guys, Audrey. Pick below. And oh, here's the picture. Oh, it's Jesus.
So creepy looking. It reminds me of like a Teletubby for some reason. Do you remember those?
It does. Yeah, it does kind of, with the ears, it kind of looks like a Teletubby, and the hands are like super human looking.
They're all like,
yeah, that is creepy as fuck.
Rubbery and weird.
But can we talk about how the hell did it get back into your garage?
Probably like, your cousin Jay. Let's be honest.
True, probably. But still, that's creepy as fuck. And also, you are a hilarious storyteller. So yes. Thank you so much for that.
Send more in.
Yes, please.
I actually have a funny story that kind of is the same as that, except for I was spending the night with my uncle at his girlfriend's house, and she had a room that was literally decorated in clowns. Which, back in the day, when I was like a elementary, middle schooler, maybe even into high school, I was deathly afraid of clowns.
Bitch, I'm still deathly afraid of clowns as a 25-year-old
adult. Would pass
adult.
Out, like, literally, oh like, God. Would pass out if a clown was
right,
around
okay.
me. So we were okay. spending the night in her room. It was me and my cousin. And for some reason, we got put in the clown room. And they had a, she had like a music box that had one of the like little dancing, ballerina clowns.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a clown?
It was a clown ballerina.
What the
she
fuck?
Had, like, a pink little outfit, and her makeup was pink, and it was, like, the sad, you know, like, the...
Yeah.
The drama, like, the sad face.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Why and would anyone make a clown ballerina?
I don't like, know. Like, she
what?
Must have had this thing special made.
Oh,
okay,
geez.
So that fucking thing was going off in the middle of the night. We took the batteries out, and it still made... music.
Oh my
and then
God.
This is really funny, but do you remember, like, I don't know, because you're younger than me, I don't know if you guys did this, but did you ever make the little triangle footballs in school and like
yeah.
flick them?
Yeah.
Okay, so we had made some of those earlier in the night, so we were flicking them at the clown music
it's
box.
So funny. Did it get it to stop, or did it just keep
I think
playing?
It eventually did stop. It wasn't playing like the whole song, but it would just be like ding. You know, like the
oh,
little...
Oh, that's so creepy.
Like every, like, couple of seconds. Like it was winding down, but there was no batteries in it.
Oh, that's so freaky.
Yeah, it was very freaky.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one is from Madison. She says, so, I have two weird stories. Also, want to mention that I love your podcast and listen to it while I'm crocheting baby blankets. Okay, that's so sweet.
That's so cool.
Is that, like, well, your side hustle? Thanks. Or are you having babies? Because, like, you know, I want to know.
Or is that, like, your job and you have a business? Because we'd love to help support you.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Also, just the, like, juxtaposition of, like, crocheting baby blankets and listening to
I know.
Crime.
Like how. Yeah. It's a good phrase.
But I love say. It. I mean, yeah. I listen to true crime while I do everything. So,
same.
No judgment here.
Same. It really helps me focus. Same. So, I have always had such morbid dreams from as early as I can remember. My first notable one, I can remember it was, trigger warning, a Holocaust dream. Wow, that's terrifying. But it was with my family. So, I'm the oldest of 13 kids. Wow. Okay.
That is a lot of kids. And you're the oldest?
You
Holy
were the,
shit.
Yeah, you were the I'm the oldest of my siblings, but there's not 13 of us. But I was definitely, like, the mama because of the age difference. Mm. So I bet you were, like, the mama, too.
Yeah.
Some of us were playing outside and some inside. I was outside and looked up to see these big army trucks driving through our neighborhood, and we ran inside to tell our mother. The next thing I know, there's loud men in my house screaming at my mom to get everyone outside in the front yard. My mom, dad, and all 13 kids went outside, and they had us sitting on our knees in the dirt. Ugh. They shot my mom and dad, then two of my other siblings, and had the rest of us get up and load into the truck.
Ooh. Oh, that is terrifying.
I was holding my youngest sibling, 15 months, in my arms while riding in this army truck with the rest of my living siblings. We were driving for a long time before we finally stopped. I carried my youngest sibling, and my brother, the second oldest, was holding the twins. You have twins?
Aww.
Sorry. Okay. Or twin siblings, I guess I should say. We were standing in a line before we reached the front of the line, and these men in army suits I didn't recognize pulled the smaller kids out of our hands and began yelling at us. I could see the fear in my younger sibling's eyes as they are being carried away from us, and we are pushed to the other side. My brother begins trying to fight the men and get back to the babies, but didn't make it because they knocked him out. Then when I woke up, I had this dream every night for 2 weeks straight. Ugh.
Oh, that is terrifying.
This was when I was 15. When I was 24, I had two baby boys, and the dream returned, but it was with my own kids. That's so scary. We were playing outside, and the babies were pointing out clouds in the sky that looked like different animal shapes. We heard a loud bus, like a school bus, driving through our neighborhood, followed by army trucks. The same ones I had seen in the dream before. A bunch of men jump out, grab my husband, babies, and myself, and load us on the bus. My neighbors were added, but I had noticed a few were missing. I live in this community with mostly old people, and a lot of them were sick and needed medical devices to live. I asked my neighbor why her husband wasn't on the bus too. She told me they shot him because he had oxygen tank and couldn't live without it.
What? Wow.
I guess after researching the Holocaust, those who were older and sick were killed instantly anyways. So we drove on the bus for a really long time. The windows were boarded up, so we couldn't see where we were going, and anytime anyone talked, we were screamed at. My son started crying, and one of the men came back and yelled at us to shut that baby up before I make him shut up forever. Whew! I would have been, like, trying to throw hands at somebody saying that about my kid, but also,
yeah, really,
don't want to get killed, so.
Yeah.
I quieted him down by nursing. We finally arrived at our destination, and the army men were kicking us all off and screaming at us the entire time. My husband carried our oldest while I still had the baby. We got to the front of the line, and they took my babies from us. They were screaming and pulling at us. I was crying, and so was my husband. I felt the pain of them ripping my children out of my arms. My husband started fighting back, and they knocked him out. Then I woke up. I was shaking and sweating. I couldn't believe what had just happened and had a full-blown panic attack. Huh, I do not blame you. I would have been in the same boat.
Yeah, I would have too.
I had that dream every night for 2 weeks too. This was my worst dream yet. I was 26 and now had 3 kids. I went to take a nap, and when I fell asleep, both arms above my head and laying on my stomach, I fell asleep and began dreaming. In my dream, I woke up in the exact same position I'd have fallen asleep in, which made me think I slept and hadn't dreamed, still in a dream. I got off the bed and went to check on my husband and kids. I saw my husband making lunch, my brother in the corner of the room, sitting at the dining room table, and the kids are all playing upstairs. I hear a bunch of buzzing and look outside to see millions of helicopters flying over our house. Like, millions. There were so many.
Oh my God.
One lowered itself down in front of my huge window that I was standing in front of. The man pulled out a gun and began shooting at me. I felt 7 bullets. I felt the burning in my skin from each bullet. I'm laying on the ground and I see my husband diving towards me. He got shot in the head and was instantly dead. I just knew from the look in his eyes he was gone. I look over and see my brother hiding in the corner below the window. I turn to see my son, who was 3, coming down the stairs to find us. Then I see him drop to the ground after the sound of the shot being fired. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
I see the blood starting to surround his entire body. The helicopter flies off and my brother runs to the stairs to get my other children, and things started to get fuzzy. Then everything was black. Then I woke up in the exact same position I fell in. Only then did I realize it was a dream. The spots I had been shot still hurt. I've had dreams like that. Have you ever had dreams like that where you, like, got injured and then you, like, woke up sore or hurt?
I definitely have, like, on my arm or something. Like, yeah. If you're sleeping on your arm.
That's so terrifying. I've had many dreams where I fall asleep in a certain position, and in my dream, I wake up in that position. So it feels so incredibly real. Then I actually wake up in the same position to find out it was actually a dream the entire time. But that one was the worst. I hope you read these stories because I feel like they should be shared. Madison. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, that's like, what's going on, you know? Like, to be having such intense dreams.
Yeah.
That are the exact same, but, and like, including different, like, periods of your life. Like, what family was it, right. You know? That's right. That's really interesting.
That's really freaky.
Yeah.
Intense dreams like that really scare me.
I had a reoccurring dream, but it was not scary. It was about NSYNC. So I can kind of relate, but not to this scary part.
I definitely have reoccurring dreams that I'm dating Joe Jonas. So,
I mean, that's, I believe that 125%. Yeah.
If you guys know me, you know.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
Okay, my last story for the day, and this is from LB. Oh, I like your name.
I do too. I was like, oh,
that's so cool. Hello, lovely ladies. I absolutely love your podcast. You do an amazing job with the details, but not too much detail about the cases. I really appreciate that you don't always play the 911 calls. Side note, I tried to listen to another podcast cover the Piketon massacre, and I couldn't even get 2 minutes in because they played the 911 call, and in 2020, my dad had a seizure and did not wake up after. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh.
I woke up to my mom freaking out, and I had to call 911, so anything like that is hard for me. My dad is alive still, but just a traumatizing event. Oh, oh thank goodness your dad is okay, yeah. But... that's a good, I've never thought about that, but I think I'm going to start putting trigger warnings before 911 calls and then telling people like the timestamp that they could go to if they, in the episode, if they don't want to listen to the 911 call, because I've never thought about it like that, but I can see how that could be really traumatizing.
Yeah.
So thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad your dad is okay. Okay. I do have one story that I thought you guys would like. It's kind of long though. When I was about 2, my parents and I lived in an older home in Ogden, Utah. I was absolutely terrified of my bedroom, refused to go in there, didn't matter the time of day or who went in there with me. When my mom asked why, I told her there's a little girl wearing a blue dress with blonde pigtails and a mean dog in there, and I'm scared. She thought I was a little crazy until one day she was getting ready for work when she heard a baby bottle in the kitchen roll off the counter onto the floor. The bottle was standing up in the middle of the counter, and no one else was home. A few days later, my mom was again getting ready for work, our dog was outside, my dad was at work, and I was at daycare, when my mom heard a dog run inside the house, around her, and back outside. We didn't have a doggy door at the time, and the door was shut. When I was about 4, my parents bought a new house in Clearfield, Utah. In order to get me to sleep in my new room, my parents had to tell me they bought the no ghost, no monsters package on the house.
Super smart.
That is so cute. That's like such a good like
parenting idea. Hack. Yeah.
Yeah. A few years went by. I think I was about 20 when I started seeing a tall, dark figure in the hallway at night.
Oh no.
I hear footsteps, full conversations with multiple voices. Things fall randomly. We named this ghost Daryl. I don't know where the name come from, but if you say, Daryl, please stop, the voices and the footsteps stop. I went to a paranormal convention with my mom and talked to one of the investigators. They told me it's more than likely that the ghosts are the same person, just in the old house, it disguised itself to not scare me.
Oh, wow. Oh.
My mom thinks the figure I see now is her great-grandpa, but he died when my grandpa was 18. I don't know who the ghost is. People have told me I should look up the history of the old house, but hell no. Yeah, I wouldn't either. I don't live with my parents anymore, and I haven't experienced anything in my new home, .. yet. LB.
Hopefully you don't, but I have a feeling you might.
You might. I feel like, I feel like it's like one spirit that's attached to you and presenting itself in different ways. So like when you were a kid, it was a kid, and then as you got older, it was like maybe your great grandpa that is like trying not to scare you. But Ooh, that is freaky. I would be on the same boat, like not looking up the history of that house. Nuh-uh.
I've done that. But yeah.
Yeah, no. When we moved into our house that we're in right now, I wanted to use that like it was when the infrared filter on TikTok was going around.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And I really wanted to use it because I was like, oh, this would be cool. But then I was like, mm-mm,
I gotta
not
live
doing
here.
It in my house. Yeah.
I had the same thought.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah. Okay, so this is my last one, and it is from Allie. Okay, so this isn't my story, but my boyfriend's. I just think it's important to share because so much personal safety information is directed towards women, but men should be wary around strangers as well. As my boyfriend learned from this experience. We were just talking about this in the Michael case, I think. He and a friend had gone to see a concert in Berkeley one night, and afterwards they wanted to walk to a nearby restaurant to get dinner. They were walking down a random quiet street near the UC Berkeley campus when a man got out of his parked car and approached them. Crimes like muggings can happen in Berkeley. However, this man gave off a friendly vibe, so they weren't immediately on guard. The man greeted them and then commented on how tall and young they were, which unnerved them a bit because that is sort of a creepy thing to say to a stranger. Yes, it is. Maybe if he just said, wow, you're tall, and he's like 6'9", but the young part, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah. He then started talking about his car and how nice it was and asking if my boyfriend and his friend wanted to check it out, which they refused. They sort of started thinking that this guy wasn't fully lucid because of how random it all was. So they said they had to go because they were, you know, headed to dinner. The man asked where they were going, and because my boyfriend and his friend weren't conditioned to be automatically suspicious of this sort of question, they told him which restaurant they were going to. And the man said, oh, that restaurant is closed. Excuse me, sir.
All right.
Like, that's convenient. Like, how'd you know that?
Yeah.
He said, don't bother walking all the way there. It's not open. My boyfriend and his friend were confused, and my boyfriend said, well, Google says it's open, so it seems like it's open. The man was adamant, though, and said, you can try, but it's going to be closed when you get there. My boyfriend and his friend were pretty done at this point, and they started to say goodnight and turn away when the man suddenly said, wait, let me drive you there. It's too far to walk. They immediately said no, thank you, and tried to leave, but the man was super insistent and kept trying to get them to go with him. Eventually, he said, come on, I'm going there anyways, just let me drive you. At that, alarm bells started going off in their heads. My boyfriend's friend asked, wait, you just said you were sure the restaurant was closed. Why would you now say that you're going to go there anyways? The man didn't have an answer for this, and finally my boyfriend and his friend were able to start walking away. The man went back and got into his car, but he didn't drive away, he just continued to sit there. Once my boyfriend and his friends got to the restaurant, they started to think about how suspicious that interaction was, and they also started to regret telling the man which restaurant they were going to. As they finished their meal, they kept nervously watching the door, waiting for the man to come in any second. They looked over their shoulders all night until they finally made it back to their car safely. None of us know for sure what was waiting for them in that man's car, but whatever it was, be it a robbery or something more sinister, it can't have been good. Our theory is that this man, and possibly whoever else might have been hiding in that car, were there to prey on university students, especially since a lot of international students attend there and may be more vulnerable to in situations like this if English isn't their first language. That is so fucking sad to be
preyed
upon like that.
Yeah, and it really is like they're more vulnerable, so that's what people are going to do, and it's heartbreaking.
Sick. That's sick. Let this be a lesson to everyone, whatever your gender, to be cautious and keep yourselves safe, especially when walking somewhere at night. Allie. Wow.
That's such a good reminder.
Yeah. He could have been a serial killer for all we know, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that is really bizarre that a man is going to try to take on two other men, you know?
Yeah, it is. But you never know what somebody has planned.
Their intentions are, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually just talking about that with Robert, my husband, the other day. We were talking about something, and I forget exactly what it was, but it was some sort of safety tip that I'm like, oh, I need to be better about that. I think it was being on my phone as I like walk to a parking lot or walk to my car or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you do. And I was like, honestly, you do too, because you never know. Like, just because you're stronger and a man, like, you don't know, like, if two men come over you, they might be able to overtake you.
Yeah.
And they're also really good at like blocking people in, and there's sometimes nothing you can do. So that is a really good reminder to everybody to be aware always.
Yeah. And if they have like a weapon or something, like a knife or a gun, I mean,
yeah,
you might be able to,
like, what are you gonna
run
do
if you see them coming, you know, hopefully.
Right.
So yeah, I've learned to do that too. Like, not be on my phone. Yeah. When I'm walking around. Well,
but thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you guys, all of the stories that you guys yeah. are sending in. We've been getting a lot, and so just keep them coming so we have plenty of episodes yeah. like this to do, because we enjoy doing them a lot.
Yeah, we really do. They're funny. They're sometimes a little bit more lighthearted or sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep sending in your listener stories. You can submit them on our website, which is inhumanpodcast.com, or you can email them to us at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And that's all we got for you guys today. We'll see you next week with some brand new episodes. And until then, keep it human.